So nice to see a full church of smiling, happy people. I look down there and I see those smiles and I say, their lights are on. I look up at these lights up here and I see some of them out. And I'm looking around to see if there's somebody that doesn't have a smile on their face. So far, so good. One of the greatest things that I came to realize when I came to Jesus Christ was, not only was the stories about him that I had read were true, but that he was a real, live, living, breathing person. He is, he really is, there really is a Jesus Christ. And the stories are all true. I remember as a child, we were told the beautiful stories of Christmas time and such, and all the beautiful stories about Santa and all that, and I believed them. And then I didn't believe them. And I thought, well, if those stories are just nice stories, maybe the stories in the Bible are just nice stories, and maybe there isn't a God. But what a relief and a joy to find out that there really is a real Jesus. I just want to pray at this particular time. Father, it's an important day today because this is it. This is all the time that you've given us. We have no promise of a tomorrow. And this is the last time that we'll all be together exactly like this. Each of us has come with different thoughts in their minds and in their hearts, but right now it's focused on you and what you want to say. And that's where I am today. Lord, I want to say what you would have me to say, and that folks would receive from the Holy Spirit what they need. In Jesus' name, amen. The sermon today is called A More Convenient Season. I was given this thought a few weeks back. See, the Lord always prepares me. He knows when I'm going to be preaching, so he always gives me a message or at least a thought to think about until he has completed the sermon for me, and then he gives it to me. In Acts chapter 24, we would turn in your Bibles. Paul has been passed from pillar to post, from one trial to another, from one despot to another, and he is been taken to a place here where he's talking to a governor. And down in verse 24, it said, after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Well, what is a convenient season? How many of us have put things off to do later and it never, ever got done? I was going to call this sermon Get Her Done. And I figured y'all would know what I meant by get her done. Because many, many times Christ comes to us in our lives at different stages and bids us come. And we offer him excuses as to why this is not the time. He told the parable of the wedding, and that people were bidden to a wedding. And one said, well, I have just bought a brand new cow and I have to be there to kind of watch over it. And another one said, I just got married and I can't come right now. And many, many different things. And so we are wondering today, what excuses will I make before I make up my mind to serve God? Many obstacles can be in our way. We can get bogged down by the cares of life. We can get caught up in the acquisition of possessions and the getting of things. The man who built, who had the great big harvest, and he said, well, what am I going to do? I got such a big harvest and I don't have enough barns to put my harvest in. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down all my barns and build bigger barns. And the Lord said to him, you foolish, foolish man, tonight your soul will be required of you, and then who's going to have all these things that you've laid up for yourself? And Felix trembled at the preaching of Paul. But we never hear that Felix ever submitted to the call of God in his life and become a Christian. One of the other ones, Festus, said to Paul, almost thou convincest me to become a Christian. Almost? Almost persuaded? See, many of us have been in a Christian atmosphere, a so-called Christian country, and a Christian culture so long, and we've heard the story over and over and over again. But have we made a decision to say yes to Jesus Christ? To say, yes, Lord, I want you to be my Lord, and I want you to be my Savior. And how many have made that commitment and have asked God to forgive them of their sins? How many have gotten right with God and continue to walk in the light? Today, we can become so familiar with this that it has no meaning at all for us. It just becomes second. It's just a bunch of nice stories, and we're in the custom of coming to church and believing that, oh, everything's okay. I'm okay. You're okay. But we need to shake ourselves once in a while and say, am I okay? Am I right with God? If Jesus came right now, would he take me? Would he take you? If he came right now, would you welcome him, or would you want to say, no, 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 Lord, wait, 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 I'm not quite ready yet. Oh, my, 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 my. We have to ask ourselves these questions. Jesus calls us. Let's turn to Mark 8 and 34. Gospel of Mark, chapter 8 and verse 34. So many obstacles getting in our way. Mark 8 and 34 says, and when he had called the people unto him and with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Self-denial. What will you have to give up to come to Christ? Some people are not willing to pay the price. They just say, this is too much. I just, they just don't feel that they want to give up whatever it is that they should give up in order to come to Christ. It says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, and the gospel's the same, shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And what do people give in exchange for their souls today? What is it that is keeping men and women and children from coming to Christ right now? What is it that it would be in your life that is more important than making yourself right with God and right with your fellow man? What could be of more importance than being ready for the coming of the Lord? Because it is imminent, it is nigh. Jesus is coming soon, and are you ready? Should we not examine our priorities? What is it that we feel is of most importance? Is it this thing? Or is it something else? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, And are we not in an adulterous and sinful generation? Oh, we are. Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Wow. It's an important thing for you to know if you're ready or not for the coming of the Lord. Bart can testify how close he came. How close he came. And God gave him another chance. And some of you have come very, very close to crossing over, to giving up the ghost, to becoming dust again. And God has graciously granted you this opportunity to get right with Him.
Amen.
This is the accepted time. Now is the accepted time. We cannot put off our salvation, the knowledge in our hearts that Jesus Christ has died for us and rose again so that we would have new life and that we would be heaven ready. I believe in evangelism. I believe in talking to people about Jesus and their souls. I believe in telling folks that there is a way to depart from Babylon, to get out of this infestation that we live in, called the world. Talking about that in Sabbath school, and I likened it unto Batman going into the Batcave for the very first time and being surrounded by these bats. And they're just biting him and going all over him and flying around him. And he has to get out of there to get clear of those bats. And what are the bats? Those are the influences of the world. They're biting at you from every angle. They're flying at you. It's like when we go underwater, I said, you have to put on an underwater suit and wear an aqualung in order to be able to live in that atmosphere under the water and not die. And we are surrounded by darkness, gross darkness. Everything is dark. We can look out on a sunny day and think, no, that's not dark. But no, I'm not talking about that kind of darkness. We are wandering strangers and pilgrims in a land that is just pressing in on us from every side. Sin, adultery, murder, war, famine, earthquake, disease, sickness, all these heartaches that they are pressing in on us. And we have to tell the world that there is a hope, that one fine day Jesus is going to come and this will pass away and we will become new creatures and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And we have to tell the message to the rest of the churches, because the mission of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is to reach the churches. Do you understand that they need to be told that they're in the system of Babylon and that everything is not beautiful in its own way? It's not. Everything is not beautiful. And there are some things that we need to tell them that it is the Ten Commandments that we need to keep and not just put up on the wall and look at. It is the fact that we need to separate ourselves from the world. We need to understand that the Word of God, the whole Word of God, is the Word of God and not just parts that we like. And not just ones that tickle our fancy and our ears and just tell us what we want to hear. Sometimes we got to tell folks things that are ugly. When I look in the mirror, I look at them to see what things I need to change to make myself look as good as possible, and I see almost an impossible task before me when I do. But nevertheless, we persevere. And when I look into the Word of God, I see things about myself that need changing. We are on a journey, as Abram was on a journey. He was on a journey to get his character straightened out so that God could be able to use his life to teach us how to live and how we might overcome all kinds of sicknesses and diseases and afflictions and mistakes and obstacles to perfect our characters for heaven. When are we going to do this? When we have a more convenient season? When are we going to do it? You know, there's a song about straightening up and flying right. Straighten up and fly right. And we got to straighten up and fly right. When are we going to do it? Let's go to Mark chapter 10 and look at verses 17 to 22. There's other things that are obstacles in our way. Things that we use for excuses not to serve God. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 22. Here's what it says. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son. Is that the wrong one? Nope, that's not it. It's chapter, sorry. That was 9. Chapter 10, verse 17, yeah. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came running and kneeled to him. One came and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And in there is to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He just didn't say it. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And here's the sad part. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Riches, riches, riches. How much we want to have things, own things, buy things, possess things. Oh, my. And that's an excuse. And Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. Now, am I condemning being rich? No, I am not. I am not, because there's a lot of good, godly, rich people that will be in the kingdom of God. And I know all kinds of examples. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were rich. And yet, they were willing to give it all up. Even Moses. Moses had Egypt if he wanted it. But he gave it up so that he could be part of this, part of what you all are in today. We are continuing in the journey of Abraham. We are walking that rope. We are walking that road. We are the ones that God is working through and teaching and leading and guiding to that moment when he shall appear in the sky and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Real. He's real. And he wants you and he wants me. He wants us to stop making excuses and come to him. There is not going to be another convenient season. This is it. You cannot count on tomorrow. You just can't. No such thing as tomorrow. And when we get there, there'll be a tomorrow after that. And when we get there, there'll be a tomorrow after that. And tomorrow, they say, never comes. I don't know if that's true, but I haven't caught up to tomorrow yet. It's always ahead of me. Oh, then there's some excuses, more excuses. Luke chapter 9. Gospel of Luke chapter 9. Why don't people come to Jesus now? Why? Chapter 9. Verse 57 to 62. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Oh, isn't that nice? He's going to follow Jesus wherever he goes. And here's what Jesus said to him. Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said also, Lord, I will follow thee But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Wow, that's extreme stuff. Can't even go back and say goodbye to your family? Hardly. But he was saying, once you start this journey, there's no looking back. Once you begin on this road, do not even think of it. Remember Lot's wife. That's in the Bible somewhere. Remember Lot's wife. She looked back. Gone. Don't look back. Once you start this journey, look ahead. Actually, look up. Because your redemption draws nigh. We need to be making disciples of all people. Everyone that we come in contact with, I know you're not all preachers and you're not all teachers, but you've got a life that you can live in front of people, and you can invite people to Jesus just like Andrew did, whether you preach to them or not, and you can live a holy life in this world if you so choose. It's up to you. And when is the most convenient season? Now. Now. If any of you have never given your heart to Jesus Christ, now is the time. Amen. Do it now. When we have prayer at the end of this sermon, I want you to give your heart to Jesus now. Amen. Don't put it off another day. If you have drifted along and believed that you were okay, but you never ever really settled it, now is the time. Don't put it off another day. You don't know about another day. We'll hear about these car accidents and people being taken like that. And so many times I've driven on the road and just come so close. And only the grace of God allows us all to be together here this day. Why? Because He wants to tell you one more time, get right with me. Get right with me. And the way has been made for you. You only need to come and say yes to the promises of God and obey the gospel. Yes. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So if any of you, we're going to bow our heads. And if any of you would like to make that commitment today, please, please, please raise your hand at this time. Just bow your head, but raise your hand. You want to make a commitment to Jesus Christ, and you want to know for sure that you're ready to meet Him should He come today. Let's see those hands. Those that want to recommit their lives to Jesus and say, yes, Lord, I've got habits that I want to get rid of. Well, you're not going to do it tomorrow. You might as well do it now. You know, come to Jesus right now as you are with all your faults and failings, all the things that are troubling you. You bring them to Jesus right now. He will give you power to become the sons of God if you give Him that place in your heart. If you turn your will over to Him, He will make use of you. He will turn you into a vessel of honor where you have been a disgrace maybe before. He will change you. He will transform you. Why? Should you reform first? No. No, no. It's not reform. It's transform. He wants to transform you, so you must turn your life over to Him. And it's not at a convenient season. It is right now. Father, we pray that those that have chosen this day to turn their lives over to You and recognize that You are alive and living and ready to touch them and wash them in Your blood. We ask that You do so right now. Wash those who are repenting of their sins in Your blood and give them the assurance in their hearts that You have accepted them and received them and saved them and transformed them and justified them and cause them to separate themselves from the dirt and the filth of the world and begin to walk on the path of righteousness right now. And those that are part of Your church, we pray that You will help them rededicate themselves and reconsecrate themselves and begin to go reach out to those round about them and tell them this wonderful message of redemption through Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless this congregation right now and answer these prayers, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And if you've made that commitment, then you need to be baptized. You need to go through with everything that the Bible says you must do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For without the Spirit of God, you cannot live this Christian life. You need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. This church needs the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to be the driving force in this church. So as we sing our consecration song, 205, we will stand and make that consecration.